of wonderful Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. I would like to speak today about something that's very much in my mind. I really believe that Krishna's appearance has at least three dimensions. It is a historical phenomena, it's a cultural phenomena, and it can be an individual phenomena. Historically, Krishna appeared more than 5,000 years ago. Culturally, Jamashtami, or his appearance day, is maybe the greatest festival in India. I mean, Jamashtami is really very well established there and has become a festival that is celebrated all over the world. Do you know that in London we expect a little more than 80,000 guests in the temple? 80,000, 80. Hare Krishna, Tarun. Nice, schön dich zu sehen. But it is a festival which has a very profound individual dimension. That is something for all of us. The individual dimension is very nicely explained in the Bhagavatam. That is when Sanatan Goswami says it's like this. He says, "You, Krishna, give yourself and all that is your own to your devotees alone." Krishna, you give yourself, but everything which is yours to your devotees alone. And then it continues. Krishna, you actually appear to protect not only you protect the devotees, because you enter into their hearts when they think of your beauty and chant your holy names. This point was given to me, I was made attentive to this point by Madhavananda yesterday, that Krishna actually is willing to appear in the hearts of everyone if they chant their holy name and then with their minds absorb themselves in the beauty of Krishna. And today, in my little presentation, I wish to talk about these things, that is, chanting Krishna's holy name and absorbing our mind in Krishna's beauty, his personal form, his love, his beautiful qualities. And I do hope, it is my impossible hope, because I'm not very advanced in Krishna consciousness, but I nevertheless hope by sharing some of the verses with you that you will actually experience in your life Krishna's coming into your hearts. Do you think this is a good project? Yes. It is. Good. Then I feel encouraged. Okay, so let us start. Yes, thank you very much. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. Haribo. Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Radha Madhava Gunya Vihani. Gopi jana vallava giri varadhani.
Gopi jana vallava
Gopi jana vallava Giri Varadani. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janadanjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janadanjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihani. Jaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihani. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Shri Radhe. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Once again, I would like to greet all of you very affectionately. You made the right decision to come to celebrate the Lord's Appearance Day. And we have a wonderful place at the by the side of the lotus feet of our Madan Mohan. And so may you all obtain the Lord's blessings, for which I think you have made this long journey to come. Hare Krishna. We will read this morning from the prayers of the demigods to Krishna. It is from the 10th canto, chapter 2, text 37. We will go a little fast. Shinvan grinan sang smarayangs chachintayan. Shinvan grinan sang smarayangs chachintayan. Namani rupani cha mangalani te.
Namani rupani cha mangalani te.
Kriya suyat tvach Charanada Vindayo. Avishta Chetana Bhavaya Kalpate.
Avishta Chetana Bhavaya Kalpate.
Shrinvan Grinang Sang Smarayang Chachintayan.
Shrinvan Grinang Sang Smarayang
Namani rupani cha mangalani te.
Namani rupani cha mangalani te.
Kriya so yachta sharana ravindayo.
Kriya so yachta sharana ravindayo.
Avishta chetana bhavaya kalpate. Yes, please, someone else of you. Yes, can we please have one Vaishnavi also?
Sinvan grinan sam smarayam satchintayam. Namani rupani cha mangalani te. Yasuyachta charanaravindayo.
now go to the word by word translation, this is not a time to fall asleep. This is a time to learn something new. You will see if you constantly do this as a regular practice, or at least occasionally when you read, to go to the word by word, you will get an understanding of the Sanskrit language. Shrinvan. Constantly hearing about the Lord. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnuho. Grinan. Chanting or reciting the holy name of the Lord and his activities. Sangsmarayan. Remembering, that is constantly thinking of the Lord's lotus feet and his form. Remembering, that is constantly thinking. Yes, some of you can be a little bit more attentive. And chintayan. Contemplating. Namani. His transcendental names. Rupani. His transcendental forms. Cha. Also. Mangalani. Which are all transcendental and therefore auspicious. Te. Of your lordship. Kriyasu. In being engaged in the devotional service. Yaha. He who. Tvacharanara vindayo. At your lotus feet. Avishtacheta. The devotee who is completely absorbed in such activities. Na, not bhavaya, for the material platform. Kalpate is fit. So, translation. Even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet and who constantly hear, chant, contemplate, and cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms are always on the transcendental platform, and thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Woo, this was a long sentence. Let's take it bite by bite. So the devotee may be engaged in various activities, you know, things to do for his livelihood, being on the computer, going out, purchasing items. So they may be engaged in various activities. However, when their mind are thinking of Krishna, by hearing about Krishna, chanting and contemplating about Krishna. My God, this gets a long sentence again. So they are engaged. But they, while they're being engaged, they do these four things. They absorb their minds in Krishna. They are hearing and chanting. And they think about this internally, contemplate, or smadhanam is here the process. And they also preach and tell others to remember about Krishna and so on. These type of devotees are always on the transcendental platform. In the Sanskrit said they are not fit for the material life, really. They are not fit. They are, if we want to take it into the, they are transcendentally absorbed. They don't fit in the box of ordinary people, no? And they can therefore understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Wow, that's a program here. Purport. How Bhakti Yoga can be practiced is explained in this verse. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that anyone who has dedicated his life to the service of the Lord by his activities, his mind, and his words, such a person may stay in any condition of life, but he's no longer a conditioned soul. He's liberated. Srila Prabhupada quotes this, it's a verse quotation of this verse. Iha yasya hariya dasye kama namana sagira nikilasva pyavastas tu jivan mukta sauchati. So you are actually not on the material platform when you use your activity, your mind, and your word in Krishna's glorification. Even though such a devotee is in a material body, he has nothing to do with this body, for he is transcendentally situated. Narayana para sarve nakutashana bipyate. I feel the mental energy is getting low here. Please stay. You can do it. Because a devotee is engaged in transcendental activities, he's not afraid of being materially embodied. A little while ago I heard, I think I said this earlier, how a journalist once asked Prabhupada, what if there are 100 or so devotees, they are chanting the names of Krishna, they are discussing about Krishna, meditating about him, and then a bomb drops and explodes. What is the devotee thinking? And Prabhupada said he's not afraid. Because for him, everything happens under the will of Krishna, and he thinks Krishna has now come in the form of a bomb. Okay, let's go. Let's go to Krishna. So this is what Prabhupada says. Because a devotee is engaged in transcendental activities here, he's not afraid of being materially embodied. Illustrating this liberated position, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Mama Janmani Janmani Shvare Bhavatat Bhaktiya Ahaitukitvayi. All I want, Krishna, is your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. Even if a devotee, by the supreme will of the Lord, takes birth in this material world, he continues his devotional service. When King Bharata made a mistake and in his next life became a deer, his devotional service did not stop, although some slight chastisement was given to him because of his negligence. Narada Muni says that even if one falls from the platform of devotional service, he's not lost. No. Whereas non-devotees are lost entirely because they are not engaged in this service. So, it's a beautiful purport. It's a little long, and I would like to focus on a particular point. So, you might like to read this purport in its entirety. It's 10th Canto, Chapter 2. Verse 37. Please, if you let us all chant. One moment. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale
Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskachari Shatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Govaktavinda Jayatam Surato Pango Mama Manda Mategati Matsarvasva Padam Bojo Radha Madana Mohano and everyone. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As we all know, there are two domains. One is the manifested by the external energy of the Lord. All these material universes are manifested by the Bahiranga Shakti. And then there is a domain which is totally transcendental, that is the kingdom of God, if you so want, which is manifested by the Antaranga Shakti. And we are between. That means we have the choice. Do we want to be part of the material world, or do we want to walk, think, eat, play, sing and dance in the kingdom of the Lord? It's our choice. We have to make this choice not only once when we take our sacred initiation. We have to do this choice a couple of times, because the material energy again and again comes. For a devotee, he thinks Maya tests his determination as a qualified servant of the Lord. And you have to say no to Maya and yes to Krishna. Why? The scriptures give many inspirations to us. They know that we, by our nature, are pleasure seekers. We try to avoid pain and look for pleasure. This is there in the living entity, this urge. Only when something becomes totally dysfunctional will he do things to inflict pain on himself and on others. But the natural condition is to live in happiness. So the scriptures say there are different levels of happiness which you can find. And there's happiness on the platform of the body, there's happiness on the platform of the mind, and they all get increasingly higher. Mental happiness is much more powerful than just physical. And spiritual is overriding this. And they address us. The Taittiriya Upanishad, they address us. They say, you must know, conditioned soul, Raso Vaisaha, Krishna is full of this rasa, this highest taste. And those who have attained this, they have attained unlimited happiness. No? They give an example of these various levels of happiness so that we can understand our project to become happy and avoid pain can be best fulfilled in the kingdom of God. They give this example of a young man. He has studied all the Vedas. He knows everything. He is
so qualified that he can sit on the seat of an acharya and teach. He's healthy. He's physically strong. He's mentally strong. There is no weakness. And somehow he becomes the ruler of the earth with untold riches. Ooh, young man, knows all the Vedas, healthy, becomes an influencer, like anything, the ruler of the earth. That's some type of happiness. But they say, take this happiness and increase it by 10,000 times. Then you have the happiness of those who inhabit the higher planets, the celestial beings, the Gandharvas. They have no gross bodies. They live for a really long time, and they have sexual pleasures which people on this earth have no, they can't even comprehend it, so therefore there is not much information about, but it is really sublime what they have. Now, then it goes higher, and then there are higher beings who have higher pleasures, and then they yet still higher beings, and it comes to the saint and sages who are no longer interested in any type of material happiness. But then it ends, it says, the speech and the mind cannot explain the bliss of one who knows that effulgent Lord, who has eyes like a blossoming lotus flower. Such a person is free from all fears and anxieties. This is from the Taittiriya Upanishad. Rupa Goswami takes this idea also. He says, the bliss of even liberation from the material world of Brahmananda, if it is multiplied 1 trillion fold. I mean, we can't understand this, no? It still can't compare to a drop of happiness derived from the ocean of bhakti, the rasam, bhakti rasamrita sindhu. So this is this logic to turn to Krishna. Lotus feet is used. It's an argument given to people who think that happiness is gained when they think they satisfy themselves either physically, emotionally, or mentally, or even spiritually. No, many people, when you ask them why they are in Krishna consciousness, for instance, or took on a spiritual path, they will say, I couldn't bear the pain any longer of material life. So their interest is, I want to be free from pain. No, this is a selfish interest, a selfish project, but it is very, very prominent both amongst the materialists and the spiritualists, and therefore the scriptures and the acharyas say, if you want happiness, then think of the ocean of bhakti, how you can get there. And they give analogies by comparing different types of happiness with each other, and then coming to the idea of prema, so that we will think, I want prema, I want bhakti. This is the idea of Krishna consciousness. You want love for Krishna. You want to be conscious of Krishna. When you approach Krishna, even in the conditioned state, this is the beautiful thing about this point. even if you are still selfish, or even if you are still suffering from inner darkness, if you approach Krishna by first hearing about Krishna, using your senses in his service, first and foremost chanting his names with your tongue as it is now, and hearing his names with your ears as they are now, and contemplating, thinking about this as you are now with your material conditioned mind. Mm-hmm. If you do this, the Krishna starts to become present in your life. He himself acts something like, I wouldn't say street sweeper, but heart sweeper. He cleanses the heart from the abhadranis, the inauspicious things. And my dear devotees, then in the end, you have darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I remember a lecture of Srila Prabhupada in Mumbai where he said, my dear, and he addressed an ocean of people, if you chant, you will make step-by-step advancement to Krishna so that you meet him face-to-face. This is only possible because Krishna, in his mercy, is willing to give himself to the devotees who do this. No? This is what the demigods, they notice this. And Sanatana Goswami, in his Krishna Lila Stava, takes this point and says, you become avishta, means manifested in the hearts of those who chant your name and think of you. My dear devotees, let's stop here for a while. Why are you not happy in Krishna consciousness? Have you, or why are we not yet happy? I'm also, have we maybe overlooked a point? I feel strongly we have overlooked a very important point. The point is that when you engage with Krishna, but your mind remains absorbed still in the material platform, there is a minimal benefit. There's also benefit, but a minimal benefit. When, however, you go to the next level, where you also engage the mind in, what is the word here? Smaranam, no? Remembering Krishna, somehow becoming, let's use a good word, mindful, fill your mind, in other words, with Krishna. Then, at that time, this process happens. Krishna enters into your heart. I think you all know this. Like yesterday, you were singing in this beautiful kirtans which were there. And then there was this wonderful Adivas ceremony where we showed Krishna amazing items. I was there. I was showing Krishna something, and I hope there is no German internet camera here who sees what I showed to Krishna. It was a swastika, an auspicious sun symbol. We had to show the Lord because the Lord had to. We wanted to show him auspicious things that we are here in the material world, but we have also good things. You know, we have sandalwood, we have tulsi, we have the sun symbol. We have so please. Please don't hesitate. Come to us, conditioned souls. You know, please don't hesitate. We have good things also. So an auspicious Adivas ceremony was there. So there was this beautiful kirtans, and at one stage everyone was singing Radha Madan Mohan. Remember in the kirtan, and you were looking at the deities. And as you were chanting, I could see, I was
able to face you because of services on the altar, I could see some of you were genuinely moved. I even saw in some tough faces who usually are not moved, a little tear coming, a little inspiration, because Krishna enters when we sing his holy name, but we need to also be mindful of him. If we are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, and we think of our shopping list that we have to fulfill or any other, I don't want to give examples that make you blush, you know, then the effect is not so strong. This is Krishna's mercy. So to think of Krishna, Krishna has four qualities that are extraordinary. They are unique. They are not to be found in his other incarnations. All his avatars are very attractive, no doubt. But Krishna has these amazing pastimes. They're called Lila Madhurya. They're uniquely sweet. No avatar of his does these amazing pastimes. One devotee was therefore saying, I know about Narayan. Yes, I know. The husband of the goddess of fortune. And I also know about all the many incarnations of the Lord. Yes, I know Buddha, Nrisimhadev, Matsya Avatar. I have studied. I know. Certainly, all the pastimes of such incarnations are exciting to my mind. However, the pastimes of the Rasa Lila performed by Lord Krishna himself are wonderfully increasing my transcendental pleasure. Shukadev Goswami says even that these pastimes, when you hear them with faith, no, then these pastimes do something amazing to you. They are almost like a therapy. They cure the heart from its deepest disease, the kama roga, the disease of lusty desires. It's not like we sometimes hear that let us first become free from lusty desires. This is Jiva Goswami's point. And then hear about Krishna. No. That is not the right sequence. You have to turn it around. First you hear about Krishna, and then by the influence of Krishna who enters your heart, you become free of what should not be there, what gives you distress and so on. So the devotee says this. This is amazing. This amazing effect, because this increases my transcendental pleasure. I become free from my inner diseases by just hearing about the pastimes of Krishna. Then there's another quality about Krishna. You will like that. This is called Prema Madhurya. He's surrounded by uniquely sweet devotees. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives us an example. Take a jewel. Alone, a jewel is already very beautiful. He speaks of a blue smaragd. Those of you who Google, who like to Google, is it smaragd or emerald? What is blue? Sapphire. He is sapphire. This example is given. Maybe Akash, you are the knower of computers. Try to find a picture of a sapphire that I can show you. So the sapphire, the bluish sapphire, is already beautiful. I can imagine if someone of you, let us say Ramdas, would take now a big sapphire out of his pocket and show you around, you would think,
wow, beautiful, especially if someone puts a candle before it and it reflects. But the sapphire becomes even more beautiful when you surround it with a golden thing, or you put it on a golden plate, because then the light of the gold plays into the sapphire and back and forth. It becomes nice. So Krishna is already beautiful, but when he is surrounded by devotees like Srimati Radharani, who is like a lightning flash and has the color of a champak flower, very soft. So lightning is usually very harsh. Oh, I can't look in the lightning. But imagine the light is as sweet as that of a soft champak flower. Then you have some comparison, but you don't have the real effulgence of Radharani like this. But just to say, Krishna is surrounded by these devotees, and therefore his beauty, which is already, absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, people faint when they see Krishna, being overwhelmed by the beauty. The sadhus, no? They lose all, they become overwhelmed by 8 symptoms of ecstasy, and then they faint. This is a sapphire, by the way, just so that you can look. Krishna's much more beautiful. But imagine, the idea is, if there is now gold around it and there is all this light, then yes. Yes, Google is, there are a few things which Google cannot show you. We have to say, not everything is in Google. Mm-hmm. I hope I did not make an offense. So, one devotee, the gopis speak about Krishna and his beautiful this subject. They say, "My dear Krishna, during the daytime when you go out into the forest of Vrindavan with your cows, we consider one moment to be 12 years. And it is very difficult for us to pass the time. And again, when you come back at the end of the day, by seeing your beautiful face, we are so much attracted that we are unable to stop looking upon you constantly. At these times, when there is occasional blinking of our eyelids, we condemn the Creator, Lord Brahma, as a dunce." I don't know what a dunce is. A great fool is because he does not know how to make perfect eyes. Just imagine, Prabhupada says, the gopis were disturbed by the blinking of their eyes, because for the moment that their eyes were closed, they could not see Krishna. This means that the gopis' love for Krishna was so great and ecstatic that they were disturbed by even his momentary absence. And when they saw Krishna, they were also disturbed. This, you know, because when they see, they want to look. But then, for a millisecond, we don't notice this when the eyes blink. I think by now, from the beginning of this lecture up till now, our eyes may have blinked. Oh, now I enter the realm of mental speculation. I don't know. Anyone has a good number? 10,000, is that too much? Or hundreds of times our eyes have blinked, but we have not noted it. the gopis are so much full of love for Krishna that they are absolutely disturbed for the milliseconds, the nimeshas, when they can't see Krishna. This is something. Would you like to hear how Radharani thinks about this, Krishna, and how she feels towards Krishna? She says, I'm in a very bad situation because I have fallen in love with three people. You know, one person is, but three people, she cannot decide which one is more and so on. She says, since I have heard the name of a person called Krishna, I have practically lost my good sense. Then there is another person, a second one, who plays his flute in such a way that after I hear the vibration, intense madness arises in my heart. And then there is still another person to whom my mind becomes attached when I see his beautiful lightning-like effulgence in his picture. You know, Lalita had sometimes painted a picture of Krishna, and poof, this was so like, it was so absolutely Krishna that he says, I saw this photo or picture, and then my mind went away from the person with a wonderful name, and went away from the person who's somewhere in the forest playing this flute and shakes my heart. Now I see the photo of a third person. I'm finished. I'm a Vedic lady. I'm chaste, and now this. Therefore, I think that I'm greatly condemned, for I have become simultaneously attached to three persons. It would be better for me to die now because of this. This is a quote from the Vidakta Madhava. It's quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That means that they really love Krishna. Prema Madhurya. He is surrounded by uniquely sweet devotees. Now, let us hear about Krishna's Venu Madhurya. Venu Madhurya means Krishna plays flute, but not music like you may think Bach and Beethoven's good music, or if you are a little bit more different, you might say Led Zeppelin, that's music, you know. Or if you are a little bit cool play, or some modern man, no? Cool play, that is very good. Or not cool play, cold play, there's a band called. Actually, very nice, the leader of the band is very attracted to Krishna consciousness, very nice. Then, finally, you might have another musical take. I like Chromax or heavy metal, garage punk. I'm more for garage punk. This is more aesthetically pleasing, and so on. Whatever the music taste is, it cannot compare to Krishna's flute play. We hear when Krishna plays his flute and comes home from the meadows, the greatest music lovers, Brahma and Shiva and the Upadevatas and also the Gandharvas who have entrance into the pastimes, they go left and right to the path to hear this music. It is so mind-stirring that it is something wonderful. I've written some notes here. The cows and calves stop eating and drinking when they hear the flute music, and their ears rise like cups because they think this is liquid nectar, so They want to get it in the, catch it in the ears, like devotees who run with cups to the altar to catch the charanamrita. So the cows are doing this. The rivers stop. In Krishna's pastime, he sometimes plays his flute, then the river becomes stunned in ecstasy, and the cows can now walk over the the rivers. The birds, deers, clouds. There's a Venu Gita, chapter 21. You can read the effects of Krishna's flute. It's amazing. And even the trees start dancing. And by the way, they can walk, the Vrindavan trees. They hear Krishna's flute, and then they come to where he stands and plays the flute. There is even a verse. If you want to continue your material life, you better don't listen to Krishna's to Krishna, who stands in his threefold bending form at the river Jamuna and plays his flute. My dear devotees, don't think this is exaggeration. There is a samadhi of a Muslim queen who became a devotee of Krishna because of this quality. Her name was Todal, and she was going from Delhi in a palanquin. I mean, she was not going. She was carried in a palanquin to go from Delhi to Agra to meet her husband, Akbar, the emperor. So on the way, she passed by Vrindavan and heard the bell of the Govinda Mandir. Gong, 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 gong. And asked the one who was in charge of the palanquin bearers, what is this sound? This man was a devotee. He said, nothing, queen, nothing. It's just some sound. Sounds are there and everywhere. We can proceed now to Agra. But Todal, who had heard the bell, said, no, I want to see what is the sound. The man said, you know, your husband waits for you. There is no time. But Todal was queen. She was energetic. She said, no, I want to go to the temple with the sound. So they brought her to the Govindaji Mandir. But since she was a Muslim, you know, by dress, you could recognize it by the palanquin, by her soldiers. She was actually, the priest said, please, queen, please sit outside and have from outside your darshan. So somehow she followed the desire of the priest. She looked from outside at Govindadev, who has raised his hands like this and plays the flute. You have seen the photos. Somehow Govindadev was merciful to her, and for a moment she heard the sound of Krishna's flute. Do you know what was her reaction? Fainted first, yes. When she came back, she decided, I won't go to Agra. Enough of this material life. I will stay here. So she wrote a letter to her husband, Akbar, the emperor. I have decided to stay in Vrindavan and become and look at the face of Govinda. Oh, she got this letter. My queen. But Akbar was a very special person. Many books have been written about him. Not only that he was tolerant, that wouldn't describe Akbar completely. He was actually interested in other findings from other religious paths. He had regular discussions, and he thought, well, that's if that is my wife's wish, I have several other queens, I can survive, you know, I can live my life as a, and so on. So why not? She is on a religious path to Allah. Allah is everywhere the same. So he gave her allowance, and she stayed, and she actually became a great devotee of Govinda Dev. People forgot that she was from whatever her ethnic background was before, and she was given samadhi. You can visit the samadhi. It's a building where Todal is still. People come to worship her because she gave up everything because of the attractiveness of Krishna. Krishna had conquered her with the sound of his flute. And his Rupa Madhurya, that's the last quality, his uniquely sweet beauty. Have you ever seen a beautiful person, if I may ask? No? Well, who is in your mind? We need to be a little concrete, Prabhus. This is real. This is not just la la la. Let me think. Oh, I cannot say. I'm sannyasi. We don't speak about it. But I think you all know, beauty can be very attractive. Dostoevsky, the famous Russian writer, wrote, "Beauty will conquer the world." Beauty, beauty. Real beauty. I think you don't want to go there now. It's Yamashtami, and you don't want to think about anyone beautiful you saw because you're afraid that immediately there's a uneducated response from the lower chakras and so on. Hare Krishna. So let us stop this exercise here and now. Don't want to waste, to ruin your Jamastami experience. But Krishna, my dear devotees, is described as being so beautiful that even he becomes attracted, and he has no problem with narcissism. You know, that's not his problem. He's beyond the gunas. There is a nectar of devotion, a beautiful quotation from Lalita Madhava. One day, it says, Krishna happened to see the shadow of his beautiful form reflected on the jeweled foreground. It says here shadow, but it is the reflection, really, of his beautiful form as it appeared on the jeweled ground. Upon seeing this bodily reflection, he expressed his feelings. Now Krishna says, how wonderful! Woo-hoo! It is that I have never seen such a beautiful form. Although it is my own form, still, like Radharani, I'm trying to embrace this form and enjoy celestial bliss. So you can imagine, Krishna is stunningly beautiful. And therefore, a devotee who engages in any way with Krishna, hearing about Krishna, hearing his holy name, will experience, as Jiva Goswami says, delightful feelings. He will feel delighted, inspired, attracted to Krishna. My dear devotees, mind control, sense control is very important. But your mind is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, my mind is under the influence of material nature. I'm not in control of my mind. It goes where it should not go. My body, how can I control my senses. But you, Krishna, you are Hrishikesha, Tumi Hrishikesha. You can do this. You are in control of the senses, which include the mind. So, hearing about Krishna, my dear devotees, and chanting his holy name by being mindful is another game of sadhana altogether than most of us are accustomed to practice. We often see sadhana as a duty, which we have to dutifully perform. We also see sadhana with some fear. Oh my God, if everyone knows how weak my sadhana sometimes is, I might not belong to the group any longer. They might say, you are a fringy. That was the old word which we used in old times. Out of fear maybe of the shastric, of the consequences which are mentioned in the shastras, we might feel, oh no, I have to somehow do it, you know. So we are motivated by duty, I've given my promise, or by fear. But this cannot bring you bhakti. Bhakti can only be gained by one thing, that is attachment to Krishna. And this attachment comes only through one thing. You have to engage about Krishna's pastime. You have to hear about them, and so on. Prabhupada writes in the 19th chapter about this. He says, the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna are so powerful, they have power, that simply by hearing, reading, and also memorizing this book, Krishna, one is sure to be transferred to the spiritual world, which is ordinarily very difficult to achieve. In a lecture when he was in Fiji and installed this beautiful deity. Do you know which deity is in Fiji? Krishna Kaliya, Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. He said, you need to hear about Krishna. Otherwise you are in danger to repeat the cycle of birth and death. Hare Krishna, how kind of you. You are opening the doors for... Gaura Hari told us. From Syamnam. Good. Can you also open the door? Now that comes to the outside. It is open? Very good. This window is open. That window is open. But still, we are very excited and we perspire and we use up oxygen for our processes in the body. My dear devotees, I want to bring this now to my main statement. See, not long, maybe 20 years ago, I received an invitation by a very dear God brother, Bhurijan Prabhu, who said, why don't you and me do something extraordinary that was never done in ISKCON? I was immediately attracted. And he said, what? Well, why don't we simply go at the side of Giriraj, who is known as the greatest servant of Krishna, who can fulfill all desires of the devotees? And we do only one thing. What? We just hear about Krishna and chant about Krishna. And I said, I don't think it will work in ISKCON. And also, there was something inside in my heart. I like to keep Vrindavan for me. I was very selfish. I thought Vrindavan is for bhajan. I preach everywhere, but I will not preach in Vrindavan. I will forget that I'm a preacher, that I'm anything of all my roles. I will just
just chant and hear about Krishna. But Bhujyam Prabhu told me, no, let us try. And then every year, it was so ecstatic in the beginning. I mean, so wild, I want to say. Every year we went to a small dharamshala, and in the morning we would crawl under the barbed wire which protected the forest, and we would go into the forest and we would chant samsara davana there very early. I remember we were surrounded by fog. And then during the day, Bhujyam Prabhu would discuss from the Bhagavatam, and I was also presenting some subjects, and then we added a holy name retreat. And I remember one time, it was 1 year, maybe we did this for 18 years, we had, Bhujan was there, Madhavananda was with us, we had one Mataji, very learned Mataji, Umila with us, Adi Purusha, maybe our Giriraj Maharaj was there, he used to come, some Maharajas would come, and we all thought, oh, we are talking from the Bhagavatam about Krishna, but we never touch the pastimes of Krishna. We don't talk about them. Why are we not talking about them? It says everywhere we must become mindful of Krishna, what he does, how he looks, you know, what he thinks. You know, we must enter this. And we all looked at each other and said, we are not doing it. Our retreats are really not much different. And then we said, okay. Bhujyam Prabhu started to give lectures on the 10th canto, where the pastimes of Krishna are revealed, and other lectures came. And we started to talk about Krishna, keeping, of course, all the statements of Prabhupada in mind, where he warned his early disciples to not move into some imaginary concocted image and which turns Krishna into a worldly person of my fantasy. No, we wanted to go by the Shastras, by what Shuka Muni says, Shukadev Goswami, by what the Goswami said. We wanted to be really faithful, of course. I mean, of course, after you are, I mean, we know Prabhupada's statement because we read them, we have to lecture about them, we have to understand them, we have to also, you know, we are representing a line of teachers, so it has to be understood and represented. But he says, we must hear about Krishna. And when you do this, my dear devotees, something will happen in your spiritual life that doesn't happen because of your own steam. Steam, that is a word we don't use in here. A steam engine, you know, the locomotive, it moves because you heat water and the water becomes hotter, becomes steam and then wants to come out, and this energy is directed towards moving wheels forward. So when you say, I move on my own steam, it means you're taking your abilities of mind control, sense control, intellectual power to understand things, and so on. And this is called Purushakara, what a human being, the talents he has, piety, religiosity, and so on. You take all this and you somehow try to move forward in your Krishna consciousness. When you hear about Krishna, something else, a Daivi Shakti starts to work, a divine energy which is becoming active, like you know from the Bhagavatam. Those who know the verse can sing it along with me. Shrinvatam svakata Krishna punya shavana kirtana rityantasto hyabhadrani vidunoti suritsatam.
By Srinvatam, hearing about Krishna. Srinvatam, Svakata, speaking about Krishna. Srinvatam, Svakata, Krishna, not anyone else, Krishna. Then the Lord in the heart becomes pleased, and all those things which are inauspicious, they are taken out by Him. By Him. By Him, not by you. So this is a safe process of going forward. Not on your own stream, on your own strengths. You will be limited. Yes, your piety, your religiously, your dutifulness, your mind and sense control, your good-heartedness to do seva. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You are all much glorious. But it will bring you to a certain level, and you will not be able to move beyond this border. But when Krishna becomes active, of course Krishna also becomes pleased when we serve Him. I don't want to belittle the other processes of devotional service here. Archanam, we all know when we do go on the altar and worship the Lord, Krishna is really there and gives us something. But I would like on Jamashtami to focus on this verse, really, where it says, I read it again for you, one moment, and then I also stop. Even when he is engaged in various other activities, if a devotee absorbs his mind in the lotus feet of you, if he does this by hearing about you, chanting about you, contemplating about you, and then causing others to remember your transcendental names and form, then such devotees are always on the transcendental platform, and they actually can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Sanskrit word is here avishta. Avishtam cheta. No, that means the devotee who is completely absorbed. You manifest yourself in the heart. That is how it is explained. So when you leave this lecture, you will forget everything. I know you. I'm part of this movement. I know. If someone would ask me, in the last lecture yesterday, what was it? Well, I must be very honest. I always take notes, and that helps me to not forget so quickly. I know it was about the title was rather thought provocative, God's idiots, and we looked at the word idiot. It does not. It's idiota or something. It's Latin, and it means someone who is not really in the box, who does not march with the army, so to say. So then there were some. Yes, I mean, I would have, but also me who took notes, I would have to go to my notes to tell you exactly what it was about. So I know you will also not do very well with this lecture. We have to be realistic, no? I know some of you have taken notes. About 10% of those will look in their notes, actually. I know. I have really studied you. So I will summarize it in two words. Hear about Krishna. Oh, this is four words, I'm sorry. Hear Krishna. No, hear Krishna. When you chant, hear Krishna. Absorb your mind in him. Read in the scriptures about him. And you will see the Lord will become active in your heart. Hare Krishna. Especially on Jamashtami. Today, my dear devotees, today is our day. Recommendations from the day will be given, I believe, by Gaurahari, how to best absorb yourself. We have a wonderful program designed with you, with dramas also. And many highlights are there. Gaurahari will tell this. But I wish you the most wonderful Jamashtami, really. You are all great souls. You have forgotten everything. You have made a long journey. I know some of you have come even from London. Some of you are coming from Berlin, long journey. Some of you are coming from Karlsruhe, from Switzerland. We have devotees here. May the Lord, may you get what you came for. All the best for your celebration. Sri Krishna Jamashtami Mahotsava Ki. Well, Prabhu's little bit. Sri Krishna Jamashtami Ki. Thank you. Three times. Two is not a good number. Sri Krishna Jamashtami Ki. Wow, thank you. Now you're. Well, just for this J. Krishna will have heard you. Hare Krishna. I will end the lecture here. I'm sorry, I have no time for... We have no time for questions because... Isn't it?
We have a little extra time. We thought it would be nice if you could tell a little bit more about the beautiful form of Lord Krishna, or about his amazing pastimes.
Thank you very much. But this was Gaurahari's interest. I will keep Gaurahari's interest. Yes, is it about Krishna? Yes.
So it describes that a devotee, whatever activities he does, he still remembers Krishna, is immersed in Krishna. So does it refer to a devotee who lives an ordinary life, that does his daily work, or is it a devotee who, while he works, even works for Krishna?
Yeah, I thank you very much. It's a very relevant question. Yeah, a devotee tries to come to the level where he remembers Krishna. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, everywhere. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita about a devotee who is working in the factory. And he says, although he is doing the same things which other factory workers do, the devotee is on a different platform altogether because he thinks about Krishna. Now, I must admit that it's not easy for an impure heart to think about Krishna. Philosophically, when the heart is full with other things, you can think only about the things which are in the heart. I want to address this scientifically. Neuroscience, anyone has heard about this branch of science? Tells us that if we do the same activities and think the same thoughts all over again and again and again, the neural pathways, that's the way how your brain, you know, the brain activity goes. It goes according to pathways. They are made. In other words, neurons that fire together, wire together. They build networks. You can imagine it like this. If you go again and again through the same path from the guest house
to the temple, then in the grass, a path will work. You can study it. The path has become threateningly thin, by the way. We have almost no grass any longer because you always make the shortcut over the lawn. If you would go another way, another path would form. If you would go, for instance, around the guest house, there would be a path. So when you always think the same thing in the brain, you trample out a path, you build a path, you make a path, and your other thoughts will follow. Have you noted that? I have noted this in lockdown period. I was really doing service. Those who are with me, they know. Up till late, I like to be with books in my life, so I was doing. But then I needed to read something to calm my mind down. So I read Mahabharata, where there was action and Bhima and all, you know. And then I could calm down because my mind was going into Mahabharata. After some time, I couldn't sleep any longer without Mahabharata. Because I had formed, by a repeated action, a certain pathway. We all have such pathways. Whatever we talk, whatever we think, creates your own story in this life. It is by building a pathway for you. So you need to really, if you want to think of Krishna, you need to create new pathways. You need to be disciplined in the beginning and stay with it. You read and you read and you read every day. You say prayers maybe and so on. And after some time, it is natural for you to think of Krishna. At this moment, it is unnatural to think of Krishna. For deeply spiritually, it is natural because the soul only wants Krishna, really. And when you cry, you really cry for Krishna, although you would give your tears other names. No, I cry for this or for that. But it's really behind everything is the soul. But yes, we are accustomed to habits, and habits are very difficult to take away. When you just look at it linguistically, take away the H from habit. It's still there a bit. Take the A away. There's still bit is there. And take even the B away from, you know, you have habit. H, A, B, I, D. So if you throw out the H, a bit is still there. If you throw out the A bit is there. Even if you throw out the B, it is there. This is a little joke to get those who are falling asleep to respond to it. What is behind this? Habits are very difficult to take away from one's life. And you all know it. You all know it very well. So you need to create a new habit of hearing about Krishna. It's something which is compulsory. It's not a luxury. I have one quotation by Prabhupada because I need to convince now a Prabhupada disciple. And this happens only by a Prabhupada quotation. Hare Krishna, Vaidyanath. I'm very happy that you are here. I'm just saying like this. Oh, I should make a note where I keep this beautiful quotation. It is compulsory. You cannot avoid Krishna Katha. If you avoid
then you are putting yourself in the dangerous cycle of birth and death. It is not fiction or whims. It is compulsory. I mean, that's the strongest word for the for you must do it. Compulsory. It's imperative. I mean, Prabhupada is really on a point here. Everyone should become Krishna conscious. That means aware of Krishna, even when you do your other activities. If he does not become, then he is risking his life. Wow, this is strong. It was in 1976, in May, when Prabhupada made this strong point to all of us. But it takes practice. So practice according to where you are at the moment. And also you don't need to absolutely force yourself. See where you find some taste. Maybe it's Krishna book. Maybe it's the Goswami literature. Maybe it is, you know, there is no dearth of information about Krishna. And then do it regularly and you will see something new happens. A new path in your life will open that will bring you back to Godhead. It is because in this process, in bhakti process, yes, we do the effort as much as we can. Effort must be there. But the main work is done by Krishna, who takes the devotee back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Do we have another? This was the best question, actually, for the... So I will end here. But we are together here on the property. We see each other here and there. Hare Krishna. All the best. Jai! Jai!